You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with The Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I think these are the last embers of my journalistic and Miami credibility. I think if you've been listening to this show for a long time, you remember me being a journalist and having sources. And I believe that you now understand that I can be a place to go to get morsels of Miami Heat information. And these are the last embers of my journalistic credibility. Yesterday, I got the poop emoji. The poop emoji, when I get that by text, means shit's going down.
Not, oh, shit, we messed up.
No, that would be bad, although you received DeMar DeRozan. You received it as shit, we messed up.
I would attach a poop emoji to DeMar DeRozan, yeah.
So the last time you got the shit emoji was in 2010?
No, that came from somewhere else. But I believe I had a Zoran Dragic story that I broke one time when I got the shit emoji. And I got half of it wrong because I wrote that Goran wasn't upset about it and he was. But this is all I've got left is just little morsels of shit. And you know, Mike Ryan, you could talk yourself into anything. What you do know, 20 years, quarter century watching Pat Riley down here, he's not going to just stay still, even if they were in the finals less than 12 months ago. Like, he won't stay still. He's not going to burn up Jimmy Butler years. So, you know, they're going to do something.
Well, the expectation is with them picking up Goran Dragic's option at $19 million, he'll be a part of a sign and trade with Toronto, no longer Tampa. Toronto, along with, I've read a lot about Precious Achiuwa possibly in that deal for Kyle Lowry, who's up there. Not as old as Chris Paul, but he's up there.
Well, he's 36, isn't he?
He's.
I think Kyle Lowry is old.
You're looking for a 3-year deal.
$90 million is what he's looking for, and it would appear that they're going to side and trade because you've got to get in one of these games. You got to get in Kawhi Leonard. You got to get in the Bradley Beal. You got to do something to get Jimmy Butler help. You can't keep burning his years as he heads into one of these monster max extensions.
Kyle Lowry is 35 years old. He'll be 36 years old next playoff. Push. And now you're also hearing that DeMar DeRozan may also be in tow. I got to see what number that is at. Now, DeMar DeRozan, as a guy that was like mid-range guy, he actually did evolve his game some under Greg Popovich. So he's not necessarily the same player. And Miami, he could use a player with his skill set depending on what the number is. But obviously, I don't really like any of these moves unless there's another piece of this. And the pipe dream is Kawhi Leonard, and the smoke signals are there because we've seen all the nuggets along the regular season. He's actually close with Jimmy Butler, and he did the hard part. He opted out of that deal, so he will, in all likelihood, be having conversations with the Miami Heat brain trust.
Will he? Like,
or his guy.
But also, like,
Uncle Dennis.
We don't know anything about what Kawhi Leonard is doing. Like, he is the most mysterious big figure I think we have in sports. We have no idea what that dude's thinking.
I don't trust any of the sourcing on him.
Nothing.
If you tell me right now that he did that to just opt back in and get $200 million in a few years from the Clippers just to give them some room and give himself some max money here, I would say yes. If you told me he was already in a Heat uniform taking pictures, I would say yes, that's possible. If you told me for some reason he chose Oklahoma City, just decided as a free agent to go there, I'd like, yeah, possible. possible. Like, the sourcing on him is ridiculous.
I'm jumping the gun, and there's obviously, this is a local hours, so I'm going to be all in on that fantasy, right? The dissolution of the relationship apparently between Kawhi Leonard and the Los Angeles Clippers, considering how much they gave up for him, and the fact that they're right here sweating it out again if he doesn't go back.
If the hypothetical that we're dreaming about here isn't something that they already know, I do think they might worry about Uncle Dennis saying one thing and then they opt out with the understanding he's coming back, and then Uncle Dennis again is on a yacht in Miami. I do worry about that if I'm the Clippers, but what I don't think people understand about, well, maybe they do. This stuff has been in play for months, whatever it is. It's not free agency is going to open and then everyone's going to scramble. Pat Riley and Mickey Arison have a pretty good idea. They've got to trust the players, right? Even when Dwayne and Chris Bosh were at Prime 112 and they were getting LeBron, nobody was totally sure LeBron wasn't going to change his mind at the last minute with a television show. But whatever's in play for the Heat is probably already decided and has been decided for months.
This Kyle Lowry move seemed to have been decided once they didn't want to trade Tyler Hero for Kyle Lowry at the deadline, and Lowry ended up staying as a Raptor, even though he said goodbye. It was awkward. He ended up not being waived. The Miami Heat have been formulating this plan for months. They've already run Kyle Lowry and that fit by.
Can you look up for me, Mike, the conversation, were we able to wrestle it away from ESPN, of DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry trying, were they on a motorcycle? They were trying to go through a McDonald's drive-thru together. Were they walking together? This was the last time that we talked about, or talked to them, I should say. We've got a pretty good relationship with Kyle Lowry. Are you worried at all, Mike, that this was the team the Miami Heat steamrolled 5 years ago? Now they're 5 years older with DeRozan and Lowry, and those are two of the worst playoff performers in the history of the sport, the two of them.
Steamrolled. I mean, the Miami Heat, with Chris Bosh injured, took this team to seven. It's kind of weird. Given this roster construction, it kind of feels like the 2014 Miami Heat all over again, but it also feels like the 2014-2015 Toronto Raptors all over again. I'm not crazy about these two guys, their postseason resumes, their games, their ages, the numbers they're reportedly coming
in. How about the spacing? How about just the spacing of DeRozan and Bam and Jimmy Butler, three guys who aren't going to shoot from distance in a sport that's evolving to out there?
Yeah, I guess I think DeRozan has adjusted some of that. I like Goran Dragic. To me, obviously, I know Kyle Lowry is a little better than Goran Dragic, but I don't want to see Goran Dragic go. Part of that is, well, for Kyle Lowry, like, shit, man. Does someone out there really big want to play with Kyle Lowry? Because bringing in Kyle Lowry, you're out on Dame Lillard, right? I'm not feeling the Kyle Lowry thing, unless there's Kawhi, and then whatever you want.
Well, how real is that? Can we talk about this? Because, Billy, I can imagine, and I'm sorry everything that happened with your Marlins this weekend, as those cheating Yankees just get a bunch of keg softball guys. I want to talk about what you guys did with Mike Schur on Friday night, because that was fun and funny watching you guys as second screen experience during Marlins Yankees. But are you doing the whole cynical, really, Heat fans? You're going to do this again? It's going to be Kawhi and Lowry, and you're going to get everybody. And
DeRozan and Giannis in a trade. And everybody that's out there is going to end up on the Heat by the end of this week, until none of them do. Oh, and Ben Simmons also. That's what's going to happen, right? Ben Simmons is going to be on the Heat next week.
Oh, God. I mean, you want to talk about spacing problems. If the whale at the end of this rainbow is Ben Simmons, I'm going to be really disappointed about that. I think if Skeptical Billy wanted to come out, this is an opportunity to do that. If there is no other max player, and the plan is last year's team, but we got Kyle Lowry and we got DeMar DeRozan.
This is where I have to stop you, Mike, because I haven't seen reported anywhere with any hope or fruit the idea of Kawhi to Miami, except in your dreams. Everyone is reporting.
Stephen A. Smith has been. We've been on the
Stephen
Kawhi.
A. Smith, who's been saying lately that Damian Lillard's number one choice is the New York Knicks.
Yeah,
come on.
I mean, we've seen people say that Kawhi Leonard doesn't have many friends, And we think maybe Jimmy Butler might possibly be one of those.
That's the flimsy link right there. It's right there.
Because he asked Jimmy Butler to join him first. And there are photographs of them together in the same frame. Even if Kawhi joins up, I'm really interested in how that dynamic's gonna work. I'm not really sure where this plan is headed.
You did not just do that where you're like, I'm not... Even if we get Kawhi, now you're already too, I'm not sure it works.
Yeah, there's a locker room schism already.
Mike, you can't do this.
How do these people, two alphas. Who's getting the shot at the end?
Billy, you don't think they're going to get anybody? You think that Mike is going to talk himself into whatever they do, even if it's just DeRozan. If somehow they've gotten...
I will not meet you there.
You've gone
full
Homer.
If it's just DeMar DeRozan, I will not do that.
You did this. You talked yourself into this in 2 hours yesterday. You thought Lowry and DeRozan stunk, and then a couple hours later, never mind, because you're going to get suckered by Riley at every turn. If he feeds you hope... You will buy all the hope.
They might get a Spencer Dinwiddie or like a Dennis Schroeder or something.
I'd be down for Dinwiddie. Dude, we're going from Damian Lillard to Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. I don't understand this.
But when they're your third and fourth best player, you got something.
Don't do this. I'm going to end up doing this in maybe 2 days.
It's better than if you're one and two. We can agree.
I just love Goran Dragic. I love Damian Lillard. I don't love Kyle Lowry. I don't love DeMar DeRozan. This is a personal choice. These are two of my least favorite players in the history of the NBA.
If not for Kawhi going to Toronto, Kyle Lowry would have the same exact reputation that DeMar DeRozan does.
Dude.
As one of the worst postseason players ever.
Kyle Lowry's postseason numbers, and granted, he has a champion, and with that, he is a champion. With that championship, the narrative did change some. He also hit like a monster shot from beyond half court to steal a game in that series that they beat the Miami Heat in 7 from. I just don't like their games. Historically, DeMar DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, they shrink in the postseason. Their numbers, their shooting ability, it's all concerning. And when you have a team that already has an aging Jimmy Butler on it, who, by the way, I also did not like prior to him joining the Miami Heat. I just don't know how it all fits. What's the end game, Spence?
The real story yesterday or this weekend was not the Lowry news. It was just Heat Twitter being back. You felt it. I bet, I haven't even seen Ryan Cortez yet because his screen is off. I bet he's just decked out in Heat stuff today.
The end game is that the passionate Heat fan, yes, Billy.
I don't know if Ryan Cortez caught on to it or not, but I accidentally outed myself as having muted Ryan Cortez because he said to me, did you see this tweet of mine? And I'm like, no, I didn't. And then he sent it to me. And then I said, oh, you should get this. He's like, I did tweet that. You missed that one, too. I was like, oh, no, he's going to be on.
Okay, let's get him on. Cortez, go ahead. We haven't heard from you in a while, and this would be a day to bring you on because you're feuding with Mike.
He is indeed wearing Heat shit.
He's so ready to come on here. He's like, okay, enough. I've been quiet for weeks and months. I've had to eat it nonstop. Mike Schur on the YouTube thing that Billy and Chris did with him Friday called out Heat culture. Cortez wanted to barge into that and start yelling at Mike Schur. So, Cortez, go ahead. Have at it. What are your thoughts on everything Heat related that's happening? I've got to, under the poop emoji, a song just came in. So I have to read some lyrics to a song to find out.
Bruce Springsteen song, isn't it?
It is not Bruce Springsteen, but let me see what the song's lyrics are and what they mean. Go ahead, Cortez.
Well, I'm considering blocking Billy, to be honest. I didn't text him back this weekend. He really disappointed me. I don't know how long he's had me muted. He hasn't seen any
Chatter
videos in months. He had no clue. He had no clue that I have a Parakeet 69 jersey. No clue.
69. Like,
okay, as it relates to the Heat. So,
at least 2 years.
I have us getting Kawhi Leonard. I have us getting Chris Paul, CP305. I have us getting Kyle Lowry, 13th in the league in win share since 2013, 2014, even though Mike wants to shit on him. That's where I'm at. Can I have Pat Riley's number?
I don't know. You don't know where these sources are coming from. You don't know if the poop emoji is something Pat Riley is sending me or somebody else is sending me.
I could have Andy Ellsberg's number too.
What happened the last time you were around Riley? Didn't you made him seem like he was high and he introduced us to a
national news
to a UFO and got fined $25,000 because you did what with him? Didn't you ask him what he smelled like?
The last time I talked to Pat Riley was kind of embarrassing for me because it was in the studio during Freedom. And what happened, guys, is I was in the studio and there's so many lights. I've never seen so many lights. I was wearing sunglasses and I couldn't see anything. I didn't know where Pat was. I didn't know if Dan wanted me to talk or not. I didn't know anything. I just wanted like Pat to come give me a hug. It was very scary. Go check it out. Freedom, YouTube, Levitard and Friends.
Billy, why did you mute him and what do you want to say to him as he thinks they're going to get everybody before we turn off his microphone? Because I didn't think it was possible to get somebody that's more of a Heat homer than Mike Ryan. But I will tell you that Mike is already questioning whether Kawhi fits here after having gotten him. And Ryan Cortez is much worse than Mike. Not a little bit worse, much worse. So why specifically did you mute him?
Because he is who he is. He exactly for everything he just did is why I muted him like 2 years ago. And I've played it cool, and I guess I didn't let him know that he was muted all this time. And then I accidentally let the cat out of the bag when in back-to-back tweets, I was like, hey, you should do this. He's like, I already did this. He's like, well, how haven't you seen it? And then he's sending me links to his own Twitter. So I'm sorry, Cortez, but I muted you.
Sending links to your own Twitter? Come on, douche. That is pretty pathetic.
First of all, let me, in defense of Parakeet Cortez, Billy texted me.
Third person.
Did you see the clip where Sher mentioned you by name and says you're the reason he hates the Heat? Seems like a clip you'd love to have. Hey, I tweeted that 12 hours ago with a response in black and white. I edited it. Check it out.
Yeah. Mute, though. I couldn't see it.
He's gone brainwashing. He is part of a cult. The cult in culture is he is off the deep end.
13th in win shares.
And there's a lot of great players like that he's ahead of, including Nikola Jokic, Kyrie Irving, Paul George, Bradley Beal. Well, Kyle Lowry's Paul better George. Than you guys think.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm with you on this a little bit. You know, I know he's better than I think. I know the metrics suggest he's still a top player, but Cortez, you kind of feel me on this one. It's not just a Raptors thing and going through a playoff series with him where I'm like, this fraud, he's just getting away with like an okay fourth quarter after a garbage game. You have to talk yourself into Kyle Lowry, don't you? Especially when you're losing the Dragon.
Not only do I feel you, I have a whole plethora of other things lined up to talk about Kyle if he changes his mind. If 6 o'clock comes and this guy changes his mind, signs with Dallas or New Orleans,
can you give us
bro, is he in the right shape for Heat culture or not?
Can I see that pile if he signs with New Orleans?
Can we? Yes, please just get some of those. Get the library that you have for him.
Give Kyle, me the Pels pile.
Kyle Lowry has chosen the Pelicans. Do the 6 o'clock show early. If Kyle Lowry betrays the Heat and all of a sudden you don't want Kyle Lowry anymore.
I mean, have you seen him in a playoff game? It's not impressive. And the Miami Heat continually play in playoff games. Maybe we should go after players that know how to win playoff games. I mean, he's got a title, but is it because of him or not?
If he's your third best player, Mike, to Parakeet's point, if Kyle Lowry is your third best player, you're not nearly as good as the Nets, but you're...
Parakeet's point. Jesus. If he's your third best player, considering how much the Eastern Conference has improved, I think you're in trouble. If a 35-year-old Kyle Lowry is
you got to root for
player,
the Nets to get hurt again. That's the main game plan is you need the Nets to get hurt again.
Yeah, that's always going to be the deal with Brooklyn, and chances are they are going to get hurt again, but also chances are that if they have two of those players on the court, their greatness will far outweigh yours. So if Philadelphia gets Lillard, if they turn Ben Simmons into anything, it doesn't matter if you bring back the entirety of the 2014 Toronto Raptors with you. You're not getting out of the East.
But the Heat have been building towards this offseason in particular. They didn't sign players to extensions to get to cap space to this summer. And the prize is Kyle Lowry. Like, And I know that it's harsh on them, right? Because we hold them to an incredibly high free agency standard.
You guys understand, if that's all there is, that it will be plan C. It'll be swing and a miss on Giannis. It'll be swing and a miss on whatever was happening with Bradley Beal. Yeah. And so this would be plan C as it's all dried up, because the plan was this offseason, Giannis. That was the plan. You saw where and how that fell apart.
That's exactly what it is for me, Dan. If the Kawhi thing isn't real and he's just using this to leverage Los Angeles to flip Paul George into somebody that's not Paul George, I'm really going to go from the Photoshop season SZN, of Bradley Beal and James Harden and Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I'm going to talk myself all the way down to Kyle Lowry. If I'm going to have an aging point guard at a high cap number, at least let it be the one that has some history with the club that I find adorable.
The one we all love. Goran Dragic is one of the most popular Heat players ever. Yes, what after you get past the original guys and Udonis Haslem, after you get past, he's one of the most top 10, top 5 most popular players they've ever had.
He has, if he ends up winning another Eastern Conference or an NBA championship in this uniform. Goran Dragic, I think, is like fringe guy that might have his jersey retired by the organization.
Goran Dragic is more popular than Shaq, yes or no?
Man, Shaq really turned, no. Well, in terms of, in the eyes of Heat Nation.
Yes, that's all I'm talking about.
I think he's more beloved than Shaquille O'Neal because of how sour everything ended with Shaq.
Billy, you don't think so, huh? You don't think that Shaq is less popular just in a Heat uniform? I'm not talking, obviously, about national fame or anything else. I mean, he won a championship with the Heat, and Goran Dragic didn't do that. But I do want to address what it is that Mike's saying here, which is if the upgrade is Kyle Lowry, which you think is better than Goran Dragic, but you just are still dreaming about the finals, and if Goran Dragic had been healthy less than 12 months ago, maybe none of this is happening right
Jess,
now.
Jess just wandered into the studio and muttered, I didn't even know Shaq played for the Heat. So even at his jersey retirement, and I was like, why are we retiring this guy's number? It was really what Shaq signified. It's like, hey, all the fantasy bookings, and this was even pre-Photoshops, like all that, it's real here. This signifies that we're in the game to get the big whales. A Shaq, in the prime of his career, chose Miami. It's really what he started a template in terms of getting the big transactional superstar and just being in the big game.
Pat Riley has been about moves like this the entire time I've known him in Miami. I've told you the story of being at some sort of make-a-wish dinner, and that afternoon they had said there would be no movement, no one would be traded, and during the make-a-wish dinner, several Heat players got traded, and Alonzo Mourning was a member of the Miami Heat the next morning. And they've been playing like that. They're aggressive this way. If it's not good enough, they change it over quickly. This team doesn't suffer for long periods of time. They've had a couple of weird sicknesses with Alonzo Mourning and Chris Bosh. Otherwise, you can make the argument they would have been relevant every single year that Pat Riley's been in charge here. Because when they're not relevant, like they weren't last year in the playoffs, he flips it over.
But when they miss out on the big superstars, there is a very small sample that suggests they overextend themselves and they make some bad moves, which is what the offseason of 2015 was. And
but if the bad moves are Bam, Jimmy, and Kyle Lowry, that's better than the bad moves of James Johnson, Deion Waiters, and Hassan Whiteside.
Is it, though, if it's DeRozan and Lowry?
But those moves, I think, are costing you now, right? If you want to get in the Lillard game, you have to have your full arsenal of picks. You still just paid your last Goran Dragic pick. The first-round pick to get off of Hassan Whiteside is what's stopping you from getting in this game, right? So you're still paying for getting off those contracts. You gave up some of the young players you might have thrown in to a big trade to get off of James Johnson and Deion Waiters, which, by the way, was a great trade in the circumstances, but it's in the circumstances. In order to really be in a position to make a big trade like the one you want to make, you can't make those kinds of mistakes.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Mike, old school local hour right here. Caring about the Miami Heat. We bring in our national experts now, our big metal lark basketball guns. Amin El Hassan told us that Goran Dragic was a top 5 point guard in the league.
Yeah, Amin will be here in a couple of minutes, but we bring in senior NBA analyst for Metal Arc Media, Tom Haberstroh.
Before we do that, can you just get me the sound of DeRozan and Kyle Lowry? Kyle Lowry telling the story. Were they both on with us, or was it just...
They were on together, because this was at a time where they were joined at the hip.
Okay, yes, they were always together. They still are. You say at a time. They still are. That's what part of why you're so torn about the idea that they're going to go DeRozan and Lowry 5 years after it was... You know, thought about, will DeRozan and Lowry be playoff contenders? Oh, no, they're two of the worst we've ever seen in the playoffs. So go ahead and play that sound of them talking about a McDonald's drive-thru late at night.
Whose idea was it to walk to McDonald's and we'll get McFlurries at like 2 in the morning in Wichita, Kansas?
It was yours.
That's what I was sad, though.
Okay, there you go. I'm glad you helped me out. It was 3:30 in the morning. We walked to McDonald's to get a McFlurry. It was closed, so we had to go walk through the drive-through window and knock on the window to order the McFlurry.
They wouldn't serve us because we didn't have a car, so we just asked the guy on the motorcycle to order for us.
Wait a minute. How much money again?
We paid for his meal.
Wait a minute. So two Toronto Raptors All-Stars, 3 o'clock in the morning, are just sidling up to a guy on a motorcycle by foot and saying, order us some McFlurries?
Yeah, can you please order, you know, can we get some McFlurries?
Is that heat shaped to you, Dan?
Haberstroh, bring it in here and tell us whether Mike Ryan and Cortez should be excited about the Miami Heat possibly adding Kawhi Leonard and DeMar DeRozan.
Oh, no, I don't think that's happening. And especially with Kawhi Leonard, when you talk about a torn ACL, partially torn, we don't know what his future holds in the near term. And I think it's fascinating when he's opting out of this contract, declining that player option. That's a huge gutsy move for a guy who just tore his ACL, because he could have locked in $200 million over the next 4 or 5 years just by signing that player option and extending over 4 years. And now he's basically holding the Clippers hostage here and trying to get them to do what he wants, because now he can sign a 1+1 with the Clippers and try to get back onto the market to get a monster deal. Or he could just say, you know what, I'm out. And I never thought Kawhi Leonard would leave Los Angeles, but now after a torn ACL, I'm worried of any team without the medicals right now of signing him to a long-term deal. It's just an injury that, yes, some players have come back from, but with Kawhi Leonard, the fact that he's opting out is not a great sign for the Clippers. And I just don't know if the Miami Heat are going to be able to nab him, or if they should, given this injury.
Oh, for the love of God. Are you listening to this, Mike Ryan?
Another
person saying, well, the Miami Heat shouldn't settle for Kawhi Leonard. I'm not sure about this, you know, his knee and all. I mean, what, honestly, Tom?
Look, Kawhi Leonard, it's not just this knee. It's the tendinopathy in the quad that had the issues beforehand. And then you have foot injury in the playoffs. So there's a lot going in here. And the fact that he's opting out of this contract, everyone in the league is just kind of mystified. When you look at the fact that Kawhi Leonard could have signed a monster deal, when you're coming off a torn ACL in your hometown of the Clippers, that seems like a home run deal for Kawhi Leonard. No brainer to sign that extension. So with the Miami Heat, look, you can say we've rehabilitated a lot of injured players over the years. We can make this happen with Kawhi Leonard. If you have Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo, you put Kawhi Leonard next to them, and that's an elite defense. I would say that before he tore his ACL, but after he tears his ACL, it's a lot more questionable to me.
Let's move off the Kawhi thing just for a little bit, because no one really knows what he's thinking, to Chris Whittingham's point. So right now, it seems in all likelihood, 6 o'clock this evening, Kyle Lowry is going to be sent to Miami in some sort of package featuring Goran Dragic. As a Heat fan, I hate to see Goran Dragic go, and I'm really having a difficult time trying to talk myself into a 35-year-old Kyle Lowry, whose game I've never been a big fan of. Why would this be a good move for the Miami Heat?
Well, he's a really good shooter. He plays really hard, and he basically took the year off last year. Like, the Toronto Raptors going to Tampa and trying to do the season away from their family, away from their home in Tampa, you could say that last year he basically took the year off. He had like 2 weeks in the middle of the season. He just rested, lower back stiffness, they said. And then they shut him down after he scored 37 points against the Lakers at the end of the season and just said, go home. We're done here. So if you're the Miami Heat, you're looking at this and saying, look, He might be 35, but with a year off, essentially, he's going to look a lot like 31 or 32. And that's, I guess, the upside there. I get a little worried. We've talked about this before. What Chris Paul did last year, I think, is an aberration in terms of when you see a 36-year-old doing what he did in the playoffs. I think a lot of teams are going to be convincing themselves, hey, Chris Paul just did it. Why can't we do that with Kyle Lowry? And I just don't think that that's a realistic scenario, that Kyle Lowry is going to be able to perform at this level like Chris Paul did just this past year for the next 2 years. Maybe you talk yourself into it with the rest season last year and that it was an off year for him. But Kyle Lowry, he's kind of like Jimmy Butler, where he just does a whole lot of things for your team that doesn't show up in the stat sheet, and he outperforms his box score and gets his plus minus and just is a winning player. That's a totally Miami Heat player to me. The DNA talk or Heat culture, that's Kyle Lowry, Jimmy Butler. It's no coincidence that they're really good friends.
That you can get him in shape or better shape. I need Whittingham and Mike Ryan here because I can't imagine the national audience listening to this local hour. Tom Haberstroh is our numbers guy. Nobody around here knows the analytics. No one in the entire company knows the analytics the way that Tom Haberstroh does. For him to lob out there that Kyle Lowry is 35, but really, because he took 2 weeks off for his back, he's 31, it's such a made-up bullshit stat that you threw at us as if it were some sort of fact, and I can't think of anything less analytical than you shaving 4 years off the birth certificate of Kyle Lowry because he took 2 weeks off for his back this year.
No, he took a lot more than that. I mean, he took basically 20 games off this past season. And when you're 34 years old, that's a lot. Like, Kyle Lowry isn't going deep into the playoffs and running his body into the ground like a lot of these free agents are. So, yes, I think that really matters when you're talking about Kyle Lowry and the miles that he has on his tires. He basically took the year off after going through those championship runs or those long playoff runs with Toronto. And I do think that matters, Dan.
Can I challenge you on one thing? Because you said he's a really good shooter. And I remember Kyle Lowry's struggles in the postseason from deep. If you look at his career numbers from three, there's some really bad years in there and some okay years. Last year was a decent year from three. But you're saying flatly this is a good shooter? Because I'd be really concerned about the Miami Heat's ability if they add Kyle Lowry to shoot from distance.
Oh, he's not Steph Curry. I mean, I'm not saying he's Steph. I'm saying he's a really good three-point shooter who could space the floor and has gravity. Like, defenders guard him like he is a really good three-point shooter. And I think that really matters when you're the Miami Heat, desperate for shooting. So I'm not saying he's Steph. I'm not saying he's Dame Lillard, but he is a really good shooter. He's had up and down years, but I have confidence in Kyle Lowry to be a good shooter.
Is he a better shooter from three in the playoffs than Goran Dragic?
He's a 34% shooter, 3-point shooter in the playoffs. But historically a bad playoff performer, Kyle Lowry.
Let's bring in Amin Alhassan here, who told us a long time ago that Goran Dragic was a top 5 point guard in the league. How did that song start? This goes back to the original relationship with Amin Alhassan, where we were desperate. What did the Miami Heat just get? What is it that they have in tow when they get Goran Dragic? And a national credibility insider told us that this was a top 5 point guard in the league.
Amin Alhassan says Goran Dragic is a top 5 point guard in the league. Amin Alhassan says Goran Dragic is a top 5 point guard in the league.
We didn't get that sound. We had to reenact it because ESPN wanted to keep that sound.
By the way, Goran Dragic also a playoff 34% shooter from three.
It really is amazing that you guys have sounds of me saying the Bucks wouldn't win a game in the finals. You have sound of me saying LeBron was washed. You have sound of everything I've said. But you play that, you guys sing that, you play the region, you never had the sound of me saying that. I never said it.
It's very clearly 5:30 a.m. in the morning. We're Amin Alhassan.
Your energy level. We were all revved up. We were trying to raise the roof on Lowry and DeRozan to Miami, and we've clearly woken you up from your bed. We've just snuggled a microphone in, and you are snoring your way through takes while we're trying to be excited around here.
Is that's what you want to be excited for? Raptors backcourt 2015? That's what you guys want to be excited for? Look, those are good players. And would they help the Miami Heat? Absolutely. Because like Troy Weaver said the other day, where are your needs? We have needs everywhere. We won 25 games, whatever they did last year. So for Miami, I don't think you have the luxury of saying, no, 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 we don't need that. But I don't know if I'm doing the parade down Biscayne because you signed the backcourt that couldn't get over LeBron, you know, 5 years
ago. I mean,
in a row.
Though, the if you want to make the argument on behalf of the Miami Heat, the argument is they were in the finals less than 12 months ago. Like, right. That if you say to a finals team, hey, you're adding Lowry and DeRozan, you feel like you're a piece away, you're adding Lowry and DeRozan, you're not getting worse.
You're not getting worse, but it's ignoring the context around you of how everything has changed. It's ignoring that Milwaukee has finally figured out whatever dogs them. It's ignoring that Brooklyn has risen from the ground as this super team. It's ignoring that Philadelphia is better than what they were the 5 years prior to what they were this year. So, and Atlanta's coming, and hell, the Knicks are coming. So it's a different landscape. People always say, oh, people discount what the Heat did in 2020 because of the bubble. It's not because of the bubble. It's because the East got better.
That's good energy. That, you nailed the dismount there. That was good, good 5:30 in the morning energy for Amin El Hassan. So Haberstroh, thank you. If you have to poo.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. You can leave the frame. It's all right. Go poo. We'll speak to Tom for a little bit.
It's not going
to
be a quick one.
Take the computer with you.
Okay. It's not going to be a quick one. This is inside the NBA, inside the insides of the NBA.
This is the analysis the backcourt of DeRozan and Kyle Lowry deserve in 2021.
A poop emoji on my text. A poop emoji in the screen. So Haberstroh, we don't want to talk about the Heat anymore. We don't, because I wanted Amin's opinions on Kawhi. I want our analysts out there on the public record trying to guess what this great mystery guy is ever going to do, because we're all going to get it wrong every time, because nobody knows anything about his inner circle other than Uncle Dennis.
My feeling is the most likely scenario here, now that he's declined the player option, is to sign a 1+1 deal that gets him his full bird rights and essentially get a higher number and extend for a long period of time after this. But what a move for Kawhi Leonard. If he just takes the year off, signs a 1+1 and just takes the year off. I mean, like, what if you're the Clippers, what do you do there? You can't say like, hey, we need you out there. We need you to play. Like, before we sign you a 5-year max deal at the end of this, he might just say, you know what, I'm taking the year off, and if you want me long-term, we'll come together at the table for a 5-year extension. How about that? And he might just do that, and I don't know what he's going to do. That's There's crazy. A lot of cloud That's around like crazy. How come torn on. That ACL is or how long he's going to be out. We just don't know.
Wow, that's even more sinister than just leaving the Clippers after what they gave up. If he's just positioning all this to take a 1+1, take a year off, and then leave the Clippers— I mean, at that point, does he have a grudge against them?
No, it's just leverage. It's a leverage play. It's king-making. It's just power moves. Like, the NBA very much so is a lot about these power moves and establishing that I am Kawhi Leonard. I've won finals MVPs, and I'm gonna exert my leverage here. If he doesn't get what he wants, if it's a medical thing, if it's a player personnel thing, if it's a coaching thing, they can use this as leverage.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I mean, we might be looking at, I thought Darrell Revis and Floyd Mayweather were great mercenaries. We might be looking in the modern age, this mysterious figure, if it's as sinister as you guys are saying it is, as leverage plays and business moves, at one of the great sports mercenaries of our time, if everything that you're saying is true, because, I mean, we had the author on, Matt Sullivan, who told us the Nets run that organization. These guys have sort of realized, wait, we're the entire economy when we show up. These teams have to basically give us expense accounts. Uncle Dennis asked for that when he went to the Clippers. He was shamed for asking for it, and then the Nets got it. So, of course, Kawhi Leonard would try to, if it's what Tom is saying, kingmaker moves, he'd put all the leverage on them, and he's got all sorts of options. What don't the Clippers have to start giving him things if they think he's going to end up with the Miami Heat?
Well, I think first and foremost, you have to assume that they didn't give him things to begin with. It's one thing to say, this is ridiculous. I can't believe this guy asked for this. It's another thing to actually not do it or do it. But beyond that, I think you got to look at what his options are. If he signs a 1+1, like Tom said, the end of that, he can sign a 5-year max with the Clippers and maximize every last dollar. I have to assume that between his rehab and the imagery of his medicals, that he has to feel pretty confident that this is just a regular knee injury that he'll be recovering from. I feel like if there was any sort of doubt on the Kawhi side of, man, I may never be the same again. I might come back next year and be a dud in whatever little time I play. Or if, as Tom said, if I take the whole year off for a partial ACL tear, that might really shake the market confidence in me as a player. Maybe not to the effect that I won't get max anymore, but I'm definitely not getting a multi-year deal. So for me, if he opts out and signs a short-term deal, to me, that's just profit maximization and not necessarily a referendum on what his knee looks like. If he opts out and now signs a 4-year deal with the Clippers, I feel like that's the flag that, ooh, I may never be the same again. They're telling me that, hey, like, this thing might be lengthy of a recovery. So guarantee every last dollar you can get right here, because you may not get another guaranteed payday like this.
Neither of you guys, by percentage of chance that Kawhi Leonard is not a Clipper this upcoming season, that's what the opt-out means. Tom, give me a percentage, made-up number. Kyle Lowry's not 31, he's 35.
I'll say 20% chance that he's not.
And, Amin, where would you put it? Oh, the flipping of a coin on a non-visual medium. The flipping
17%.
Okay,
is anybody in America who gives you a number? I believe it's 1930. No, it's a guess. Unless you're him or Uncle Dennis, it's a guess.
How is that possible? How is it possible in the modern age of we have more access to these guys than we've ever had? How is it possible that Kawhi Leonard is allowed to be a superstar mystery?
One, because the mystery makes him different. And throughout time, if you want to be a star, you have to stand out from the crowd. If you are just part of the crowd, it makes it infinitely harder to stand out. Two, back in my day, when you told somebody something, they kept it a secret. They didn't say, "Ooh, let me run to the newsmakers. Kawhi wants to do this, but don't tell anybody," and then run away and expect them to go say it again. To me, the fact that we look at Kawhi's ability and his circle's ability to keep a secret as like this amazing feat, it just tells me how bereft we've become as a culture, where it's just like assumed nobody can keep their goddamn mouth shut. Shout out to you, Kawhi. Shout out to Uncle Dennis. Shout out to their whole circle for doing it, which shouldn't be that hard. Just don't talk to anybody.
Mike, there was a story when the Spurs had Kawhi Leonard rehabbing and they didn't hear anything about Kawhi Leonard for the longest time. They went to go visit him in New York City to go check out his rehab. And Kawhi Leonard, when he found out that the Spurs were coming in to check him out, he started hiding. Like, Kawhi's camp hid Kawhi Leonard from the San Antonio Spurs. Michael Wright at ESPN, when we were working together, he came on my podcast and explained this story that Kawhi Leonard was being hid by his people to keep him away from the Spurs. Think about that. Like, he was under contract with the Spurs and they went to go see him in New York City and they hid him at the gym to make sure the Spurs didn't know what was going on. This is who we're dealing with here.
Our podcast on ESPN, and then ESPN got mad that he broke that news on our podcast.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I was gone from ESPN at that point. And Michael Wright had that scoop, had that story. Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and then they didn't like it.
Because he didn't give it to Woj?
I didn't say anything. Are you going to make a song out of that too? I mean, just said that he thought to go ahead and make a song about it.
Yeah.
Musical Mike?
I mean, can I ask you if the Miami Heat, or even in the game, in
Hold
Kawhi
on,
Leonard.
Mike, if I may. Billy, what's the matter? Why are you sinking into your seat back there?
I just really like Amin, and 530 Amin might be my favorite Amin yet.
It's a bit of a mess. There's some chemistry problems. The energy is up and down, and he's very filled with acid.
What? The Miami Heat have to, if they think that they're in the game, in the slightest chance at Kawhi Leonard, do they have to operate the way that the Clippers did a couple of years ago, which is make the moves that Kawhi is hinting at and make him an aggressive move? And in this case, that aggressive move is bringing in the likes of Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, considering how much the East has improved since their Eastern Conference championship. Are these aggressive moves worth it if you just merely have a shot at Kawhi, or if off an ACL, he's just not that type of player anymore?
The problem with that, Mike, there's a couple. One, the second point you made, unless you go give him a physical, which after you sign him, you would put him through a physical and figure out how bad that knee is, you really can't ahead of time say, I'm going to guess that the knee's okay. Number two is the cap dynamics in order to get DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, and Kawhi Leonard are extremely complex, right? Because it would involve, I guess, trading Dragic and Precious Achiuwa and a little bit more for Kyle Lowry, and then getting a sign and trade for Kawhi, and then either another sign and trade for DeRozan or getting DeRozan to come sign for a mid-level exception. I think at that point, you are really stretching it. The Heat cap space is all built on these team options that were either picked up or declined, right? So, for instance, they declined Andre Iguodala's team option, so they opened up that salary cap space. They kept Goran Dragic's team option because they want to be able to use him in a trade, but now that means they're going to operate like an over-the-cap team, which means they don't have the cap space to just go out and sign Kawhi Leonard willy-nilly.
So it's not possible within the permutations, or it's just hard? Because I would think that hard is something that we talk about Andy Ellisberg and the Heat being good at, if they have to somehow make this happen with a four-team trade. That I'm telling the group here, I mean, these things don't happen day of. This isn't going to happen today. This thing has been sort of worked out through the agents. If your scenario is right, it's already been worked out before now, and we're just getting late to the news. So, but what you're saying is improbable, not impossible, correct?
Yeah, so the maximum amount of cap space that they can generate today, now as a result of picking up Goran Dragic's option, is about $10 million, which just isn't enough. So you're better off just operating as an over-the-cap team, because as an over-the-cap team, you get your full mid-level, you get your biannual, and trying to figure it out like that. By that token, I mean, is there some possible way to get all three of those guys? I'm sure there is. And I'm sure Andy Ellsberg knows how to do it. But it's going to take a lot of cooperation from a lot of different parties, many of them who have no vested interest in seeing you succeed, meaning the Toronto Raptors, the San Antonio Spurs, and the Los Angeles Clippers.
How does Heat homer Mike feel right now as our experts come on here? Nobody can guess what Kawhi is actually going to do.
Everything is being compared to 2010, right? And I'm having a real hard time talking myself up to the whale at the end of the rainbow is a Kawhi Leonard off an ACL who's as enigmatic as ever, a 35-year-old Kyle Lowry, and a DeMar DeRozan that no one in the Zoom has ever been super crazy about, especially at a high number or at his age. This kind of feels like a mistake waiting to happen for the Miami Heat.
Okay, so now we're officially at Heat homer. Mike Ryan doesn't want Kawhi, Kyle Lowry, or DeMar DeRozan. Fairly amazing circumstances.
I'm talking it out with you, though.
It's only Monday.
I'm talking it. I'll turn around if they actually make these moves, because it's splashy.
But it's so splashy. It's so splashy.
Splash.
It's super splashy.
I don't want to undersell it, right? If you get Kawhi, let's just say Kawhi comes. That's a good move for the Miami Heat, right? Unless his medicals show that he's done. If they get Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan, those are good moves for the Miami Heat. But it's not one of those. It's not shut it all down, guys. We won the summer. It's okay, and our work continues. And that's fine, because that's where most teams are.
Mike, what I love, though, what I love as a symbolic pairing is, as much time as we have talked about Heat culture, and does James Harden fit here? I don't know. I wouldn't trade Tyler Hero for him. You're talking about bringing in the most enigmatic superstar of our times, where he is going to make all sorts of demands that LeBron was making those demands at the start of the decade, where he wanted all sorts of seats for his family and for the guys in his management, and he wanted to be running the Heat organization. And the answer was no. You guys are trading all culture for Uncle Dennis.
Because we have faith in the organization that's done it before, and we have faith that Jimmy Butler will figure it out. I mean, Jimmy Butler was kind of surly last year with some of the players. Tom, I know it's rumored that Jimmy Butler and Kawhi get along together because Jimmy Butler was apparently Kawhi's first choice to partner up with, and they went with Paul George. But we haven't discussed the Jimmy Butler fit with any of these pieces. And his shooting numbers, I know last year was an aggressive turnaround, and he had his bout with COVID that made him lose a lot of pounds. But does Jimmy Butler fit with the players that they're putting around him?
Here we go.
All right. Well, can we talk about DeMar DeRozan for a second? A guy who does not take 3-point shots. You add him next to Jimmy Butler, who is very reticent to take 3-pointers. I'm going to say it. That might be a Space Jam East Coast. The spacing is going to be jammed if they get DeMar DeRozan. They get, you know what? Like DeMar DeRozan signing a mid-level exception with the Lakers. I'm rooting for it so hard, Dan. Because that would be the ultimate, the pinnacle of Space Jam. There would be no spacing in Los Angeles if DeMar DeRozan goes to the Lakers and takes that mini mid-level exception. It would be the jammiest of space.
Oh, for the love of God. All right, let's get rid of Haberstroh. I'm done with him. That's such
like the movie, Dan.
Bad. I don't know why he keeps doubling.
I liked it. It was
down.
It was good.
Just doubling down on movie. That.
The space would be jammed.
Shitty joke.
Yeah.
Spam.
It's spacing. That the
basketball,
the 3-point shooting.
No, we got it.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.